You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Back to pass, blitz coming. Allen steps up in the pocket. 40, 30, down to the 20. Allen looking for the end zone, and he's in for a 40-yard touchdown rip. The beast has been released.
Football Friday here on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the eights and buy Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel Game Day, ready since 1922. At this time on Fridays, we chat with Chris Brown, Buffalo Bills play-by-play man, who, Chris, if I remember correctly, Sal tells me you've got one of the best views this week. Is New England's one of the good ones, right?
Yeah, it is a very good broadcast booth.
All right.
Low, central. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, you got yourself a good view of what should be a good game. And part of the storyline this week, we also got to this with Sal, New England being underdogs, which, you know, you could take that for what it's worth. You know, you might think that the Bills have earned the benefit of the doubt in this spot. They're going on the road to play against a division opponent for the second time. They don't generally lose to a team twice in one season, and they get another crack at a New England team that first time around, it was probably the Bills' first sloppy game of the year, something we've seen a little bit of here and there. But Sean McDermott, no doubt, looking to tighten things up this week in New England.
Yeah, and I believe that is the only game in which New England has gotten three takeaways all season. But they don't make their own mistakes. That's kind of the key to the formula for the Patriots this year. They don't beat themselves, and they wait for the other team to make the mistake, and then they pounce on it and capitalize. And it's worked very well for them to the tune of 10 straight victories. I will say that it's very clear to me this week that the veterans are hyper aware of the fact that this is a potential hat and t-shirt game for the Patriots. And having won the last five division titles, they do not want to be the reason that the Patriots get to celebrate. So, you know, it's very much on their radar, and I think it's going to serve as added motivation.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, the Patriots don't want to talk about it being a hat and t-shirt game, and the Bills do want to remind them, oh, no, you can't escape this. This is a hat and t-shirt game. So it keeps them very much motivated to keep this divisional race alive. What ends up in your mind being different this time around as compared to the first matchup, which was at Highmark months ago?
I think it's eliminating the mistakes. I think that's number one. And the Bills have had a tough time accomplishing that, particularly in road games. I know that the Patriots are already practicing in anticipation of going after the ball when James Cook is running with it. They had two separate practice squad players in number four jerseys.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit of psychological warfare to a point.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. And Vrabel will play that game willingly. Yep. So, you know, it's a situation where I think they're going to unquestionably be going after the ball on him. And I think we also have to remember, too, that the Patriots have evolved, just like the Bills have, in terms of the team they are now. They now have a true home run threat at the running back position in Travion Henderson, who barely played in the game in week five. He is their breakaway threat and dynamic back in the backfield who can also catch passes. He's got a very similar skill set to James Cook and is every bit as fast. So that's an extra concern. And I think Kayshon Boutte has emerged as a true deep threat for them with six or seven receiving touchdowns. And we know Drake May can put it on the money deep down the field. So it's another threat that you have to be mindful of.
And Kayshon Boutte, like with him, you know, we're all kind of holding our breath to find out what the update is on Christian Benford. I mean, he's been spectacular last couple weeks. Last week, of course, the pick six, one of the great pick sixes and probably in Bills history. But the injury he picks up to make him limited, if they're without Benford, all of a sudden I feel like he's one of the few that would really potentially change the outcome of the game, given how New England can stretch the ball down the field.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that Diggs had 10 catches for 146 yards the last time around, and knowing that Benford has followed the number one receiver of the opponent in six of the last seven games in man coverage assignments, I was kind of wondering if Benford was going to be put on Diggs at times. Hopefully that's still an option for them. I will say Patriots are not super healthy either. They're going to be without their left tackle, Will Campbell, and their backup, Bedarian Lowe, is a little nicked up right now and on the injury report too and limited most of the week. And then their number one pass rusher, Harold Landry, went from limited to a non-participant yesterday with a knee injury, so that's something to keep an eye on. And then on top of that, Robert Spillane, their leading tackler, popped up on the injury report yesterday. It looks like he got injured in practice for the Patriots yesterday. So things to be keeping an eye on here as we get closer to game time.
Dalton Kincaid looked like he was good to go. You know, we've seen the Bills passing game without him. And when he's in there, it feels like the Bills, as a structurally built passing attack, they look like they're more comfortable when Kincaid is out there. And he had 100 yards in the first matchup. Would expect a big game from him again here.
Yeah, logic would say that, right? And I think they may feel like they've uncovered something. Granted, they were going against a horrible defense last week in Cincinnati, but I think seeing Knox and Hawes and Kincaid all factor into the passing attack, I wouldn't be surprised if they work to incorporate them more in the overall game plan in addition to the running backs, because the Patriots' corners on the outside are pretty darn good. And you may have to look elsewhere to make gains in the passing game. And I think the tight ends and the backs will be a very big part of the game plan this week.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills Patriots. Defensively, pass rush, that's the thing to watch here, right? Joe Burrow had lots of time to kind of carve up the secondary before making a couple mistakes. And we'll see about Joey Bosa, but Drake May is another one where they've got to not only try to find a way to get him off his spot, but if he breaks out of the pocket, like, he's a guy that can hurt them. So I wonder if we see them employ that three-man rush with the spy, the mirror spy that they've used on Patrick Mahomes and a couple others, because May, of course, he's a guy that gets loose every once in a while.
He does. He would prefer to make plays from the pocket, but yes, you're 100% right. He can run around and make some stuff happen with his legs too. I think they'll use that at times. I don't think they're going to commit to it exclusively whether that's down and distance situations that trigger the spy call or what have you. We'll have to see how they decide to play it, but I don't think it's something that they're going to be doing all the time, because as you know, when you do that, you take a defender out of the equation for the rest of your coverage.
Bills are always good in December, Chris. Is the best explanation that Josh Allen kind of saves his best for once we turn the calendar to the 12th month?
I think that's part of it. That's certainly part of it. And then I also think, you know, the picture comes into clearer focus for everyone on the roster. What has to happen here? And I think the Bills know it's win now mode. You know, they're still looking up at the Patriots, and they've got some ground to make up. And not only that, it is a very tightly packed wild card race. So every win is going to count big time here, and it could be the difference between playing the 2 seed or the 4 seed if you're still a wild card at the end of this thing. So I think they want to fight for as best a seed as they can possibly garner, and if they can stave off handing the division title over to the Patriots for one more week, I think they'd like to do that as well.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, did you have any fantasy teams with or against Kyle Pitts last night?
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
The crazy thing is, in my league, that guy was on waivers and available because he has been such a disappointment, right. And then he pops off last night. Crazy.
Yeah. Week 15 of a contract year. I mean, he might have made like $10 million just last night based on what happened in that game. All right, Chris. Well, safe travels, and we'll talk on Monday after Bills and Patriots.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, Chris Brown, his appearance here on Buffalo Bills. Football Friday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Northtown Volkswagen, West of New York's number one VW dealership. Shop online at northtownvw.com. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Two quick notes I want to give you. One, yesterday we had the radio station, the company, the Radiothon at the SPCA. WBEN was out there and raised a lot of money. Thanks to everybody that was a part of it and donated. The SPCA Radiothon raised $132,000. So the Wolf and WBEN broadcasted live on site, and $132,000 in donations and money raised, which is more than the year before. So thanks to everybody for their part in that. And for anybody that took home a dog or a cat or whatever, one of the pictures had a goat. I don't know if the goat was available for adoption, but I got a picture of a goat in a sweater in my work email. You probably have it too. It's a goat.
It's a goat.
With a Santa hat and a red sweater.
I do wonder now. Now I have questions. Was it up for adoption?
Is it legal to own a goat?
Did somebody adopt the goat? Probably legal to own a goat.
I would think it probably is.
Yeah, but I have enough questions now that this needs to be looked further into.
All right. It's Football Friday. I have to get out of here. Zach Jones coming in. Derek's going to hang out. They're going to roll you up to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And then Sal takes over from there. Sean McDermott, Pat Hammer. But Football Friday continues just the same. Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, all that good stuff, and Sabres and Kraken.
Sabres Kraken
Sunday at 8 o'clock. So
Zach up on the last 2 weeks because he's been off in Disney World over there.
Oh yeah,
yeah, so
out of town.
We got to catch him up on the world that's been going on.
What's the wildest thing that happened in the last 2 weeks?
I mean, one of Zach's biggest interests, college football, anything.
True,
has been chaos these last 2 weeks.
The wildest thing that happened in the last 2 weeks? Nah, I don't know.
That'll be
probably Christian Benford's pick six. It was nuts. All right. 803-0550. If you're on hold, stick with us. You can hang out here on WG.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
PR.
Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You ready, Bills Mafia? Are you ready? Like, seriously. I mean, the song says yeah, we're ready to go. I want to make sure you're ready because I'm going to tell you this right now. Patriots fans are ready. Like, it is just kind of wild. I'm not going to say weird. It's been a bit weird, like, how hyped this game is getting and being played up in Boston. I'm not saying it's not a big game. I'll have to explain and give you a little nuance here as I go along. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, because it's just really struck me this week how big this game Sunday is being played up in Boston and the New England area, Patriots fans. And I think there's several reasons for that, but we're going to get into all that today here. Welcome into the Friday, Football Friday, Extra Point Show here at WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott a little bit later here in the Extra Point Show, probably about an hour from now. I always say, keep your head and your ears on a swivel. You never know. There's meetings going on. They have other production meetings for media and TV and stuff like that, so you never know when the schedule changes, and all of a sudden, bam, we get the head coach earlier than we thought, but right now we're planning on him a little over an hour from now. And that will be a really important radio appearance when I didn't think it would be 24 hours ago. I mean, 24 hours ago, like, yep, you got guys coming back. And yes, of course it would be, are they still going to rule out Joey Bosa and whatever? But everybody's getting a little healthy, a little healthier. And the team's getting a little healthier, and it's nice. And all these guys are on the injury report that have missed games. Guys are coming back. Guys are limited. Guys are getting healthier. Joey Bosa, Terrell Bernard, Joshua Palmer, Spencer Brown, all limited, on the right track. Dalton Kincaid, full. No major injuries from last game. Cole Bishop has cramping. He's got a calf injury, but he's good to go. And then, bam, Christian Benford shows up on yesterday's injury report as limited with a toe injury. Something obviously happened during practice because he was a full participant on Wednesday. And then I even saw him practicing yesterday. But after practice, he was seen in a walking shoe, I guess you'd say, I did not see him. Several of my colleagues did. They described it, Lance Lysowski of the News described it as more of a walking shoe. Elena Getzenberg of ESPN.com described it as a short walking boot. So it wasn't like one of those big boots that you see like we saw Ed Oliver with maybe a couple of months ago. But the point is that Christian Benford did something to his toe. We don't know what that is. Now Sean McDermott's appearance here in about an hour from now becomes much more, I think, important for information on what's happening with Christian Benford. So we will do all of that. We'll get with Paul Hamilton and, of course, a weather check with Pat Hammer. There are some signs that I've seen and people telling me that this could be a snow game. How snowy? I'm not sure. We'll ask Patrick Hammer about that, what the weather forecast looks like in Foxborough, in New England. And I know a lot of you are probably going there for the game, or you're headed there, or you're already kind of over there going to the game. This actual game, believe it or not, I get this. We get these random emails that come into our mailbox here at Odyssey, and I'm sure you probably do it your company in some capacity. I don't know, wherever you work, but if you're in media, you get a lot of them. I know that. And whether you're radio or TV, and people want stuff promoted, they want you to have somebody on to talk about it. So I got this one, and it was from, according to TickPick. Okay, so they're promoting them, but that's who it came from, so I'll give it to them. The upcoming Bills-Patriots matchup is the priciest New England home game of the season. This game is 34% more expensive than the second most expensive game of the season, which was Patriots against Steelers on September 21st. The average price of that game was, $310. That was the price of the Steelers game. The average price for a ticket here in New England for this game, $415. It says the current get-in price, I guess that's the lowest, $270. Crazy. So, and they're comparing it to since COVID, since 2020, which games were the most expensive in New England Patriots, Foxborough, Gillette Stadium history. This would be the third right now behind Tom Brady's return, which makes sense, in 2021. And then the game against the Eagles in 2023, which makes sense as well. Another big game. Cowboys on the list. Patriots-Bills actually in 2021 was really big. Remember, the Bills beat them. That was Stephon Diggs' taillights game on Monday Night Football. But this game, apparently from this email I got and promoting it from TickPick, it says average price, average ticket, $415 in Foxborough. Want to go to the game? There you go. There are generally less Bills fans in Foxborough than other stadiums. And one of the reasons is simply this. It's more expensive to get in there. And Patriots fans don't normally, when they were really good, obviously, they wouldn't be dumping their tickets as much. Last few years, more Bills fans have showed up, no doubt. And I think that's because the Patriots haven't been good. They're like, yeah, just we'll sell our tickets and, save some money for the holidays, whatever. But generally, I go to all these games and I really try to take stock in how many Bills fans and Bills Mafia are on the road. Generally, there are not as many Bills fans in Gillette as there are elsewhere. I think that'll be the case again. It'll be tougher for Bills Mafia to get in because Patriots fans will not want to sell these tickets. They'll want to see their team possibly win an AFC East championship. That's what's on the line here for them, the AFC East. If they win this game, this is what we call a t-shirt and hat game. Patriots win this game, they win the East. All right, but that's kind of where I want to go with this and ask you and talk about. 803-0550, Sean McDermott at just over in the 11 o'clock hour. We also will have Pat Hammer at 11:30. If possible, we'll get Paul Hamilton on today. Talk a little bit about the Sabres last night. I did not see the third period. Fell asleep. I had an event to go to. Came home, watched the first two periods, watched Syracuse basketball, watched the NFL game. I literally had three different screens going on last night. Dan, do you do that a lot? You have a different, Dan Dale's the producer today. Do you have different screens going on and computer or whatever to watch games?
Oh, of course. I have my laptop right in front of me. I got my TV in the background. I got my phone on the side.
See?
I got everything for one of each sport.
That's what I had last night. I had football game on TV. I had the Sabres game on my laptop. And I had the Syracuse basketball game on my phone. And then in between, like when I I would switch. I'd put the Sabres game on the TV and the football game on the laptop, depending on when it was, until it got late and all that. So anyway, I went to bed. It was 3-2. I woke up. It was 3-2. Sabres won. If we get a chance, we'll talk with Paul Hamilton about that a little bit later today. But it is a Buffalo football Monday, and we're talking about Bills Patriots today. Game Sunday at 1 p.m. So I'm going to say this, all right? And I'm going to explain a little bit more about it. This game, judging by media I've done in the Boston area this week. This is radio shows. I was on a TV station this morning. Podcast. Matt Bove and I, by the way, did a podcast. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. What we call a crossover pod with the hosts of the Six Rings pod. That's Fitzy, Nick Stevens with Meg O. Great, great group. We love doing it with them. They're really cool, actually. I know it's hard to say and believe that, you know, Boston people, Bills fans, but no, seriously, they did a really good job. And we love doing that. Check it out. Really good. At Sal Sports on YouTube, you can watch us all, or you can just listen wherever you podcast. But I did that, and I've done several Boston media this week. And the main theme is basically how monstrous this game is for the Patriots that I come away with. And on top of that, not only that, okay, but there seems to be some sort of, I don't know, it's hard to find a word for this, but they have this real big, like, hang up on the fact that the Bills are favored in this game. Like, I go on WEEI the other day, our sister station in Boston. First question out of the host's mouth, why do you think the Bills are favored in this game? Like, you know, because they are still a good team. They have Josh Allen. They've been very good in December. I don't know. It's a 1.5-point spread, right? Like, if the Patriots were favored in this game by 1.5, I don't think any Bills fan would be like, I can't believe the Patriots are favored. Now, if the Pats came here favored by 1.5, you might be feeling that's pretty disrespectful, but they have a second-year quarterback. They haven't been the team that's been winning the division. I think that's a little more understandable if that were the case, and you'd be like, wait a minute, that's kind of odd. In this case, I don't find it kind of odd, to be honest with you. Like, okay, the Bills are favored by 1.5. Like, is that really disrespectful? It's the Bills are the 5-time defending AFC East champs. They still have Josh Allen. They've won a couple games in a row here. They are very good December football team. Patriots have played a softer schedule, and I don't want to bang on the Patriots for it. I just think that, yeah, there's certainly reasons, right? And it's Vegas. Like, people bet on Josh Allen, so whatever. That was number one. And then number two, I did a show today, and the hosts say to me, and maybe you feel this way, and this is what I want to ask, okay? 803-0550. Here's the number. 803-0550. I want to get your thoughts on this. Like, how big is this game for you as a Bills fan? Knowing where the Bills are in the standings, the Bills are making the playoffs, folks. I mean, barring an epic collapse, right? They're making the playoffs. They have over a 90% chance to make it. If the Bills were to win one more game out of their last four, I think they're in almost no matter what. Maybe not. I guess other things can fall, but they're making the playoffs. Now, they might not win the East. The chances of that are pretty unlikely at this point, but it still could happen. They'd have to win this week. But knowing that the Bills are going to make the playoffs and that they probably won't win the division and they're going to get a 5, 6, or 7 seed and go on the road, knowing that going into this game, how big is this game for you? Because I'm telling you, in Boston, it's freaking huge. And the host says to me today when I go on the radio, on TV, I mean, he says, if Drake May beats the Bills and Josh Allen again, like they did in the week 5, he says, is this a passing of the torch? Okay, maybe I'm just a little naive here. I don't know. I'm like, no. Like, Josh Allen's 29 and he's still going to be playing football for a while. Like, maybe the Patriots win have a year they win the division. Heck, maybe they start alternating division championship over the next few years because the Patriots are right there and the Bills are right there. But a passing of the torch? Like, when I think of passing of the torch, I think, like, you know, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Like, Favre's going off into the sunset. I know he went and played. I think actually of Brady's leaving Tampa. They're not going to be good. Here comes Josh Allen. Like, that's more of a passing of the torch. I've always said the difference between when the Patriots ended their run and the Bills came up, the difference between that and now the Patriots were already on a decline with a older quarterback. Like, you could see it. That's not the case. Now, you could argue the Bills aren't the same team. I agree. You could say they're on the decline from what they've been. I don't disagree with that. But the Bills still have Josh Allen, and he's old. So I don't see any passing of the torch here, even if the Bills were to lose this game. Now, I would say, though, excuse me, I would say that it is a representation of what we're in for. And I think it already is. It does not have to be. It does not have to be, you know, every single year, these two guys, you know, battling it out. But I think it's going to be. I think it's a representation of what we're in for the next several years. Maybe the Patriots start owning this division for a while. Maybe it's one off and the Bills keep owning the division. But I think it's safe to say Josh Allen, Drake May, Bills, Patriots over the next several years is going to be fun, competitive football. There's nothing wrong with that. It's sports. Do you know how rare it is to have what the Bills have had, much less what the Patriots had before that? To win five straight division championships is really rare. Most consecutive division titles ever in the NFL was, I think, 11, way back in the day with the Rams. And then it's the Chiefs at like 7, I think, they've won, right? Or did they win 11? But either way. Most consecutively, let me do division titles in NFL. Most consecutive. I got to find the stat on this. Most consecutive division titles. Okay. Okay, no, the Patriots had 11. That's what it is. Patriots had 11 from 09 to 19. And by the way, before that, they were winning it all and they had one off. And what the Patriots did was just no. We all know that. That was out of the stratosphere. That's not going to happen anymore, right? But even what the Bills have done by five in a row is like super rare. Patriots 11, Chiefs 9 in a row, which is ending this year. Rams 7 in a row. My apologies getting the Rams mixed up in there in this group at the top. But so, yeah, it's okay. Like, it sucks, right? It sucks. You want to win the division every year. But passing of the torch, like, this is, you know what it is? It's normal. That's the word. It's normal to have another team compete with you for a division. It's normal not to win the division every year. I'm not excusing it, and I'm not saying that, oh, it's totally cool, just give the Patriots the division. I mean, like, when you say passing of the torch, no, what it is it's a representation that these two teams are both going to be good, which is way it basically should be in every single division every year. It just hasn't been in this one. I mean, look what happens in the North. In the AFC North with the Steelers and the Ravens and the Bengals. Look what happens in the NFC East, a different team was winning it every single year for like 20 years, something like that, whatever, 10 years, I don't know. Look what's happened in the NFC North. Green Bay and then Detroit comes on and Chicago. NFC West, you got San Fran. Now it's Seattle there, the Rams. This is normal sports, folks. To own a division for 5 years is rare. And the Bills have no excuse. They should have been able to do it this year. They should have beaten Atlanta, should have beaten Miami. You wouldn't be in this position. This is on the Bills, right? They put themselves in this position to not win the division this year. This is on them. I'm just saying, this is kind of what happens in sports in the big picture all the time. One team comes up, they win titles, another team does. They go back and forth a couple of years. They both have good quarterbacks. They both have the best player, you know, in their division, their sport, their conference, whatever, basketball, hockey. This is kind of normal for sports. So no, I don't look at it as a passing of the torch, because I look at the Bills having Josh Allen still at 29. Now, you could tell me, and I'm sure there are people out there right now going, yeah, Bill, Sal, this isn't going to be the same Bills team, and look at Mike Vrabel and what he's doing. Yeah, that's true. Guess what? They're going to have to pay their quarterback in 2 years as well. And then they're going to have challenges. Like, every team goes through this. So how big is this game for you? It's certainly incredibly monstrous in New England. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Bills are going to get probably a 5, 6, or 7 seed. They can still win the division. They have to win this week to do it. Then they're going to have the Patriots lose to either the Dolphins or the Jets in one of the final two games they play. They'll be favored, the Patriots will, but it could happen. So it can happen. It's mathematically possible. But you know what this win does this week? It's not. It's the win this week for the Bills mathematically puts them back in a spot where they have a look at the division, and that's great. But really, it's kind of a message as well, right? Like, yeah, it's not your division yet. We're still here, and we play in the playoffs. We're showing you that, you know, we can beat you here or there. When the Patriots came to Buffalo, they played the kind of game, as Sean McDermott said, they want to play. The Bills were forced to play the Patriots kind of game. Bills gave them the ball three times. They got it once. So they lost the turnover battle, 3-1, the Bills did. And it still took the Patriots till the final series to win the game. And I think the Bills take away from that is just don't give them the ball. Don't play that kind of football with the penalties they had in that game and the turnovers, and you'll be fine. I think that's what the Bills probably believe, and I believe it too, about this game. But if you're the Patriots, you're like, yeah, but that's how we play, and we're going to force you to play our game. That's why it's really interesting. 803-0550, Chuck in Westfield is first up on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Chuck. Uh-oh. Dan, do we have Chuck? Or is that... I'm trying to get Chuck. Dan, I don't know if Dan can hear me or not. I think that was Chuck. That was your phone. Something's wrong with your phone, Chuck, I think. So we're going to try and get you on again in a little while, all right? I don't think that was on my end, Dan. I'm not really sure. I want to make sure because that was kind of like some aliens were right there. See,
well,
we got him.
It's me
Chuck,
now.
Chuck, are you there? There, Chuck, I got you hey. Now. Go ahead, buddy.
There we are, Sal. How you doing today?
You sounded like an alien over in Westfield. You don't have aliens around you, do you?
Well, nah, you never know. I've seen them out here before. No.
Well, just be careful of the big lights you see out there. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, I actually think it's going to be okay if we don't win the division this year. Because I think if we're a 5 or 6 seed, we'll have to play Jacksonville and or Pittsburgh or whoever wins the AFC Central there, I think it was South or no, the Pittsburgh.
The North.
Yeah, North. Okay. I get that mixed up. So that's if we get to 5 or 6 seed, I actually think that's going to be easier for us to move on into playoffs because we'll have to play one of those two as a 5 or 6 and then hopefully Houston and can beat one of the teams above us. So I think it helps us out if we don't win the division.
I certainly think there's an argument for that by a lot of people. The problem is, Chuck, and thank you very much for the call. You're not wrong when you think like that, how people kind of parse this, but the only issue with that is you do have to go on the road 3 straight games, possibly. But as he said, maybe Houston, maybe the 7 seed upsets somebody and they come to your place and you could play a game at home. Getting the number 1 seed is the goal because you get the bye. But if you don't, you want to still be at home. Going on the road 3 straight games is tough. You know, I'm glad Chuck brought this up. Because he said being easier. I have seen, this is another thing that's irked me this week. Okay? This is like an airing of grievances here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today here on WGR Sports Radio 550 in a December show. Airing of my grievances, because my first grievance is, I cannot believe, it's not a grievance, but it's kind of struck me really wild how the Boston area is treating this game. And this is they've won Super Bowls, and it's like, oh my God, this is the biggest game in Patriots fans regular season history. Dude, like you've won Super Bowls, and it's a regular season, and these two teams might play each other again. The other part of this is totally separate. How much I've heard and read and seen these ridiculous debates online about if Josh Allen doesn't get to the Super Bowl this year and how it's an utter failure and he'll never do it and it's on him and all this stuff about Josh and Super Bowl as if sports aren't a team game and he hasn't played some of the greatest football ever of any quarterback who's ever lived in the playoffs. Go look it up. Josh Allen is statistically one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play in the playoffs. Just because he hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl doesn't mean he was responsible for that. But what's crazy is this is what really gets me, all right? We got these Chiefs reporters and fans, national guy on ESPN who's like Jason Reed, who got all his shine this week from these ridiculous hot takes, right? This is it's like, here's Josh Allen, who is going to the playoffs. And let's just say the Bills fall short again and terribly we're like all mad about it and we're fire this person, fire that person. Everybody's calling up and whatever. Okay. Here's Josh Allen, who would be the quarterback in that situation, obviously. And everybody wants to kind of bang on him for not getting there. What about the dudes who didn't even make the playoffs? Right? Like, what does it say about them? I get Matt Verderam, who I know, I like, he's a friend of mine when we're out in media and we see each other. He was on this big time this week. about how Josh is not he's not the best quarterback right now in the league, which is fine to say, but he kept pointing to losing to Patrick Mahomes. And if this is the year that it's the easiest for Josh to get there, the AFC field is weak. AFC field is weak. And if Josh doesn't get there, it's a failure. And I'm like, dude, if the AFC field is so weak, why did Patrick Mahomes not even make the playoffs? Does that not count? If it's so weak, he's finishing third in his own division. What does that say? But we're going to dock the guy who gets there and loses? It's the same thing that happened in the NBA years ago. I remember people would say, LeBron, look at his record in the finals. He has a losing record in the finals. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, but he beat all these dudes to get there, and you're not even knocking them for it. It's like worse to get there and lose than it is to get there? What are we talking about? If this playoff has no Mahomes, no Lamar, and no Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen loses before he gets to the Super Bowl, why does that say more about Josh than it does about the other three? How backwards is that? I think it's weird. Let's get to David in Tonawanda. Hi, David. You're on WGR.
Thank you for taking my call, Sal. Want to basically say, I'm not really worried about this game. To a point, as a Bills fan, you would be. I'm proud of Drake May. Drake May is playing absolutely phenomenal. He's been playing absolute great game, definitely on his second year being a rookie. He's connecting with his team. The only thing I want to see, what's going to finalize this game, it's going to be is this offense and this defense, they have to click. The penalties, they have to break down those penalties, not get as many. As long as this team can play together and they can look exactly the way that they've been looking the last couple games, I don't see why they can't pull out a W for this to continue the destinies of this team and be able to see exactly how much further this team can go.
All right, thanks a lot, David. I appreciate it. They certainly have the ability to win the game. They are favored. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. What's going on? It's always a pleasure catching up with you, and thanks for being my eyes.
Yep.
Enjoy your show. Listen, you know, I have no concern. This is why I love the game of football. Games like this to look forward to. I'm not concerned about the New England Patriots. After last week's game and what Josh did, and I think Buffalo is definitely, they've got the momentum, and they know what they're very capable of doing. I love the fact that the defense comes out in the second half. They adjust at halftime, and that's what they've been doing. And my only concern is, like the last caller just said, I'm worried about those false starts and getting a little grabby on the receivers. You know, that's my main concern, but definitely not at all concerned about this game. I think we're going to show up. It's going to be a dogfight. We both know that New England is a good team, and hey, let's go. And also, hey, go Navy. All right.
This weekend, right? Army Navy.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Where's the game this weekend? And my apologies for not knowing. Where's the game this weekend?
Oh, it's in Baltimore.
It is. Okay, I know they've rotated sites. All right. All right, man. Well, you enjoy that game, Rob. I got to run. I got Jerry and Kenmore as our last call before the break. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Sal. You know what? I know we're not probably winning the division, and that's fine. Do you know why I need them to win this game, though?
Because Patriots fans are annoying?
But I need the Patriots to play out their schedule. I need week 18 against Miami to mean something. And they're out there getting beat up and playing hard like we have for the last 3 years. Play out the schedule. We don't need them coasting the last 3 weeks of the year unless they're playing, obviously, for the one seed, which they could be. But I don't need that. We're going to have to go there and win at some point during these playoffs. I would prefer they be beat up.
I get it, Jerry. It's a great point, and you're not wrong. Like the Bills have been beaten up throughout the playoffs over the last few years, and that's on them for not getting the one seed, and they have to play that first round. And when, I mean, they lost Gabe Davis in that Week 18 game down in Miami a couple of years ago. They had a couple of injuries. He was one of them. And they didn't have him for the playoffs. And, you know, you keep playing every week, and those things are going to happen. Speaking of injuries, we'll get to Sean McDermott and the Barnes Firm injury report when he joins me here in about a little over a half hour from now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Dan, do we have Paul? Is Paul coming up here? I think we have Paul coming up here at 10:30, I believe. But we're going to try. We're going to try and we'll sort it all out. I was just in communication with Paul. I think we're going to have Paul Hamilton very quickly because I just want to touch on the Sabres game last night and look ahead to the weekend. And then we'll get right back to your calls and football here on a Buffalo Football Friday. We will talk Bills, Patriots. We'll get the injury report from Sean McDermott. We will get the and more. And we'll get the weather report from Pat Hammer in an hour from now here on WGR. Stick with me.
Time now for the Tailgate Tag Along presented by Wegmans, the official tailgate headquarters of the Buffalo Bills. Whether you're tailgating at the game or at home, Wegmans has everything you need, including subs, pizzas, wings, sushi, and more. Download the Wegmans Meals to Go app and order for the game this week. We got a couple of away games before we get to another home game at all, but we do have one submission for what somebody is thinking about this week. Hold on, I just absolutely over enlarged. Here we go. This is from Jack. For an icy cold Sunday, feels like a comfort food day. During the game, I am slow cooking some creamy homemade chicken noodle soup overnight with grilled cheese sandwiches. Then for after making a big pot of American goulash with beef and pork and hot Hungarian peppers. Let's go. It's hard to get into the tailgating atmosphere when it's an away game. But I get it. I get it.
So what we're doing at the Trapasso House Sunday, certainly inspired by the Bills Hallmark movie, we're doing a Bills holiday tailgate. It's just going to be in the house. We're not going to be sitting outside. I mean, I would sit outside, but I don't think our guests would want to. I'm doing cheeseburger sliders. Right. I'm going to get King's Hawaiian rolls. I'm going to actually stop at this Wegmans right over here in Orchard Park to get some of the ground beef and doing an egg and sausage with hash brown on the bottom casserole, some fruit, some juice for the kids. There's going to be a bunch of kids running around, everyone in their Bills stuff. So it's like me being able to kill time before a game, which to me, like before the game, you know it, Steve. I mean, as a player, it must have been tough. It's not a fun time. I want to be occupied as long as possible up until 1 o'clock.
That's the way it works. All right, let's take a phone call. Go to the phones. Roger's been waiting for more than just a minute. Roger, thanks for being patient. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, you talk about tailgate meals. I might have to one-up you all. It's the first my family's all going to be in town, and we're having Thanksgiving dinner after the game. So,
oh, very nice.
That's awesome, Roger.
Yeah, so my first thing I just want to say is, how much of Cole Bishop's ascension and his play is strictly because of Jordan Poyer? Mm. You know, since Jordan's came in the game, Cole's game has skyrocketed. And then my other question is, I feel it's the first time in many, many years we have a controversy. We have a controversy between Terry Bernard and Shaq Thompson. I think Shaq has brought our defense around. He's stouter against the run. I think he changes the whole way our defense plays. Just wanted to bring those two things up. You guys have a great day, and go Bills.
Thanks, Roger. I appreciate it.
Two good points there.
Absolutely. It's the stuff about Cole Bishop. I think he'll be pretty open to the fact that Poyer has helped him a great deal. And you know, having a guy that knows who can give you a little extra information, a little extra communication on the field because he knows so much is huge for you. And it allowed – and I think you can see it. Cole Bishop's playing with a lot more confidence because of it. It's not 100% because of Jordan Poyer, but every little bit does help.
Yeah, and I think more specifically – we have to not forget that Cole Bishop missed like 3/4 of his rookie season. And now, so in year two is kind of his rookie year. He's learning the nuances, the intricacies of Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott's offense with the knowledge in that safety room of Jordan Poyer, where he can bounce ideas off of and have questions and ask Jordan Poyer, who might know the system better than anyone else. So I think those two things have gone hand in hand, that he's learning the system, he's playing a full season in year two for the first time in his career with Jordan Poyer being there. I think that's been huge.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Kevin in Hamburg. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey,
what's
guys,
on your
how
mind?
You doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I think the biggest thing in this game, in my opinion, is which offensive coordinator outduels the other one. Will Joe Brady and experienced Josh Allen outdo McDaniels, only a second-year guy? Or will, like in the first game, beside the turnovers, will Josh and a second-year guy outdo us in our defense? That, to me, is probably the biggest thing, whoever does. Because in the first game, beside the turnovers, it looks like we were outdone by a second-year guy. And, of course, I know the guy who taught Tom Brady, so...
Yeah.
I'll let you.
Well, I'll say this. Yeah, you're right. The offensive coordinators do have a lot to say about it. But in the first game, you look at the quarterback's play, the quarterback play and the quarterback numbers, it was almost identical, except for, I believe,
Josh threw the interception.
Josh threw the interception early. And that, you know, that was the difference. And also, you had Keon Coleman dropping a pass that gave the Patriots 3 points because their defense held, gave the Patriots 3 points inside the Bills' 10-yard line. And then the Bills turned it over on the first play, first drive, and then they also turned it over deep in the Patriots' end. So that took points off the board, even if it was a field goal for the Bills. So it was a dead-even game, offensive coordinators and quarterback-wise. It was the turnovers on Buffalo's side that really turned it. And, like we said before, they had 8 penalties in the first half to only 1 for the New England Patriots. So they were kind of dragging a plow. I'll remind you this, once again, I did it earlier, it was 6-3 at halftime.
I know, it's crazy.
It was an
absolute
slogfest.
It was. I don't think what Kevin suggested is crazy, because these are two pretty evenly matched teams, and he's right that it was only a few plays here or there, but technically Drake May did out-duel Josh Allen in that game. And I think what's, I'm not going to say it's being overshadowed because it's Josh Allen and it's Drake May, but a storyline is these are two of the top 4 front runners for the MVP that are the candidates. You have the front runner in Drake May, and Josh Allen, depending on what site you look at, he's either the 3rd or the 4th most likely player to win the MVP. So to get that type of quarterback matchup in the division in week 15 kind of makes this already very good matchup on paper even juicier.
Yeah, let's. Yes, I would agree. I thought
you
they
can boil it down to
offensively
that.
And statistically, it's a pretty close game, as you would expect from a 3-point walk-off field goal.
Mm-hmm.
The turnovers and the penalties kind of tilted in favor of the Patriots. Well, not kind of; they did. But the Bills were at home, so that kind of helped. So, yeah, it was a dead even heat, and the Patriots got it with a walk-off home run. You look at the tweet sheet from Brody; he's asking how important is it that we the Bills establish a run game as quickly as possible.
I think it's important. I always say this, and I'm gonna mention it again. You don't necessarily need to have an effective run game to be very good on play action. But I do think, and this is kind of my keys to the game that we're going to talk about later in the show toward the end, I think without Milton Williams, the Patriots are going to go into this game having gotten, I don't want to say gashed against the run, but not as good against the run with him out, saying we need to dedicate a lot of bodies in the box. We need to stop James Cook. To me, at least showing that they can run it somewhat effectively, I think the play-action game that has been a huge part the last 2 weeks, Josh Allen's been right around 50% play-action rate, and he's been super good. I think it's very important to at least show maybe just its play-action or show some run formations, because I think that's the low-hanging fruit if you're the Patriots. We don't want to get run all over without Milton Williams on the field.
This from Ed on the tweet sheet. What should the defensive strategy be to limit the Pats?
Well, like Greg Cosell said, and there was one little caveat that he mentioned, in watching Drake May this season, he's looked effortless. He has a strong arm, but it doesn't need him to, you know, cork back and turn his body. Like, he can get the ball 20, 30 yards downfield like Josh can with a flick of a wrist. So I think if you're looking at what's one thing that they need to do, being the Bills' defense, like Greg astutely mentioned, speed up the process of a second-year quarterback. Drake May has all the traits. I think he has shown a veterans-level ability to grasp a very complex Josh McDaniels offense, but occasionally he holds onto the football too long, and if Sean McDermott is changing the picture post-snap and suddenly the first read's covered, and the second read, there's a safety there. Suddenly, you're looking at a pressure and a sack and potentially a fumble that the Bills have gotten over the last couple weeks.
This just in, over the social media wire, it's been reported by Adam Schefter that T.J. Watt's going to be out for Monday night.
Against the Dolphins.
Because of the lung injury he got. And it's been reported, too, it was a dry needle-like treatment, like an acupuncture treatment that went too deep. And
your best player. Yeah. For a huge game on Monday night.
And that's the thing, too, with the Bills. I get what people will say. What's the defensive strategy for the Patriots? You got to get a pass rush on Drake May, get him off his spot, move the thing. Listen, the Bills have not shown the ability to do that.
Mm-mm.
So your Lately. Plan has to be something else other than doing something you haven't been able to do all year.
Yep.
You got to work around your limitations. Joey Bosa will help. And you can kind of get a feel during game if the pass rush is going to be better than you thought it was, okay, then you can change your calls sure. to facilitate that. But you've got to be a playmaking, turnover-driven defense, or you're asking your players to do something they haven't been able to do all season. That's the real problem.
And, yeah, I mean, obviously, yes, you can say pressure the quarterback. That's true in every game. What I think the spin from that is, you could say, all right, well, then dial up the blitz. If you're seeing in the first quarter, hey, our pass rush is not getting home, I do think it'll be a little bit better than it's been without Will Campbell, potentially without Jared Wilson, their starting left guard, who's a rookie, who's a good player, and obviously having Bosa back. But against the blitz, Drake May has the second highest passer rating in the NFL. So you can't just say, well, just dial up the blitz, and that will totally confuse him. He has shown, again, that knowledge and the grasp of, okay, if a blitz is coming from here, Josh wants me to throw it here, McDaniels wants me to throw it there. So it will be difficult for the Bills defense to stop this Patriots offense if that front four can't get home.
All right, from Brad, last one on the tweet sheet. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole right now, but we're going to do this anyway.
Okay, let's do it.
He says, guys, I'd like to see a rule change that either limits teams to only play one team off coming off their bye, or even better, have two teams face each other that are both coming off a bye. The Bills got stuck playing two teams this year coming off a bye, and they were both on the road.
What was the other game? Houston?
Atlanta, I think.
Oh, Atlanta. You're right.
Atlanta was coming off their bye, and the Bills.
Here's what I would say to that. This is not, I mean, I don't know if this is the answer, but I feel like today with AI and ChatGPT, and we always hear about, and I know that you guys have on Mike North that like does the whole schedule. I'm not trying to say he shouldn't have a job. He does an amazing job. He and his staff every year formulating this 256-game schedule. You would think that you could put that into some AI system and say, let's make sure that exact thing that Brad wants is probably something that coaches gripe about, where they have way less rest than the opponent, and it's happening multiple times in a season.
By the way, the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Thanks for all your submissions. We appreciate it. That was,
how do you feel like that thing as a player? Were you ever like a little miffed when you're like, man, we're playing another team, or we played 4 days ago and they've been playing 2 weeks?
You can say that. You'd say that at the beginning of the year. It's like, yeah, you see it coming. Then it's like, you know, yeah, got no choice. Let's go.
Yeah, that's
true.
There's no choice.
Just tee it up. Let's kick it. And that's about all you could do, right? Mm-hmm. Just prepare and start to get ready for it. We'll be back right after this break. We're going to come back, wrap things up. We're going to get Chris Trapasso's keys to the game. I'll give you some thoughts I have about this game, and then we're going to say goodbye to the weekend. We'll see you on Monday at noon. But for right now, this is One Bills Live presented by Clyde Health. We'll be back after the break.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash.
Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Chasing after the puck to the Vancouver corner. Darlene will come up with it to the slot for Thompson. Holds, scores! Tage Thompson just had that second hesitation there and waited, and he rockets one past Demko to put this game back on level footing at 2-2.
One of the first moments of the game, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Tage Thompson, one of the Sabres goal scorers in their 3-2 win in Vancouver. A second straight win for the Sabres.
This defensive tackle situation is really poor. I mean, borderline unserious with the struggles that they have. And, you know, you're not able to win one-on-one matchups on the perimeter if you don't have Joey Bosa with any level of consistency. You know, Greg Rousseau is a good compression-style rusher that's going to be able to collapse a pocket in time, right? He's a slow-burn guy, not a sack artist. Everything's going to have to be coaching above the talent. And they do a pretty good job of that, but there's always going to be limitations. You have to overcome not having starting caliber defensive tackles, not having defensive end depth, you know, having severely limited players in your secondary and Jordan Poyer and Trey White. This coaching staff's doing a phenomenal job getting anything out of this group.
Our buddy Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast, he said that in our conversation yesterday on the Bill Squad show, which you can, of course, tune into on YouTube. We do that a couple times a week. Phenomenal job. The words from Mr. Joe Marino on what this Bills defense has done. And I also saw our buddy Carl Jones yesterday talking about how the Bills on the defensive side of the ball have to basically embrace chaos. He likened it to they have to hit on 16 at the blackjack table because they've got such limitations out there that like you got to do something weird, right? Create a diversion. Distract Drake May into doing something silly because traditionally, you know, getting after the passer with four, it's not going to happen. In the secondary, you're kind of holding it together. So it's a fine job done by Sean McDermott as a defensive staff this year. And, of course, Josh Allen is doing a lot of work as well. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, no Joe today. We've got Derek Kramer in here, Owen the Parlay Killer, and Dan Dale running the show. So you can jump in with us at any point if you want. 803-0550. Wide open phone lines for you here on this Football Friday. Make a note today. Check on your loved ones to see if they played against Kyle Pitts in fantasy last night. Depending on your format, he's like up to like 50 points in a couple of leagues. I mean, Kyle Pitts. Finally. Kyle Pitts breaking out will lead to a decade of tight ends that are underwhelming being treated as like, well, what about Kyle Pitts? He'll be like the new Zdeno Chara for a big defenseman. Well, it took Chara like 5 years. Kyle Pitts, 50 million points last night. Kirk Cousins threw for 370 against the Bucks.
It'll keep Kyle Pitts also being drafted in fantasy leagues and be like, oh, it'll work this year.
He's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for him to go sign with insert team here? You decide.
Philly.
Philly? All right. You want to know who I saw the first to suggest? Hey, Kyle Pitts look really good with the Chiefs next year. That's what. That's just the first thing I saw. Travis Kelce retires. What are you worried about? He's not been bad. It's just never really come together. Of course, Atlanta's not exactly a tight end paradise.
If he went to the Chiefs, he would immediately become like
maybe
the best tight end that's ever lit. Like he would just take the mantle right off of Kelce, and
or
it would
he could just be Kyle Pitts again.
He could. Oh. Yeah, I don't know what to think about it. One other thing. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. One other thing that happened from last night. We've got a clip. We've got to send it to Dan here. Todd Bowles at the podium. I watched this clip about explaining how they blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead. And he swears, and then he swears again, and then he swears again, and then again and again and again and again. He swore like 15 times.
Yeah.
Spicy boy.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
No, not happy, and he swore a lot.
Yep.
Which you don't often see.
Yeah, especially from Bulls, too.
You'll get the occasional one bomb. Like, I'm going to drop one word. We played like... Or I'm bleeping. He's like, no, you know what? No. No filter today. So I would say we'll play that for you, but it'll sound like someone dialing a phone.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm here
beep,
for
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep. Scott in Williamsville. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you doing today?
Good.
So I think the Bills absolutely can win this game, although I think no Benford would be a major blow. And honestly, I think they can and are talented enough to even go to the Super Bowl and maybe win it, and that's mostly because of Josh Allen. But the part that I'm kind of hanging up on is, like, will they? Because if you look at their losses, they've, you know, the Miami random stall out by the offense really spooks me. And, yep. Like, the rest of their losses are when the offense just, for whatever reason, shows up and they can't run the ball, and then they don't have the receivers to make the offense really go. Like, if they have to stretch to get to 20, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And the Miami game just really threw me off with that. Like, I know it was the middle of the season, like kind of a little bit mid-season lull, and we're better in December, but I kind of have a little bit of trust issues with them to be able to consistently bring that A game, because they just have those random like lapses where they can't move the ball. So I think they can. I hope they will, obviously, but just the inconsistencies of the season and the injuries just have my guard up, I guess.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that they can, but will they? I don't know.
Right.
That's about it. But thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. As you're saying that, I'm thinking the further we put that in the past, right, the Miami game, the Atlanta game, Houston might not be the Houston game. That might be a different animal because of how good that defense is. Like, Atlanta's got some good pass rushers, and it's been a defense that has been hit or miss. Miami's defense has been bad, and they look terrible against Miami. And I think what you're laying out is, listen, I've seen them have the bad game. I guess the question is, how often has that popped up in the past where a team we thought, a Bills team that we thought is good enough to win the Super Bowl, has had the bad game? And they've been mixed in. We just kind of brush them aside once we see them hit another level. I'm pretty sure. So when the Bills beat the Patriots 47-17, right? That's the perfect game. That's the 13 seconds year. That's the 2021-22 Bills. And I'm pretty sure, I'm just pulling it up right now, that earlier, like a month before that, so the perfect game happens, it's 47-17, they beat New England. They also beat New England pretty badly like earlier on. But I'm pretty sure, I'm finding it here, they beat Atlanta and they looked very, very pedestrian doing so. Like nothing all that impressive. And like you just kind of push past those ugly, ugly losses and say like, you're going to have a bad day. But I totally get it. Because what are the playoffs other than who's hot right now? Who's gonna find their stride? And if we were trying to find that, all right, which team has the capability of four games catching it and looking like all of a sudden, forget about the 17 that came before it, it's four. Isn't that what the Bengals did in the playoffs once? Like they got in the playoffs, which they almost, whatever, they struggled to do that, and then they got hot. They won in Tennessee. They beat the Bills one. They won in Tennessee. I forget. But Baltimore, Tennessee, and then the Chiefs. And then they're in the Super Bowl, and Joe Burrow's got the ball with a chance to win the Super Bowl. They kind of caught it, right? That's what's so strange about this AFC lifestyle, is that no matter how hot you get, no matter how what you are, the Chiefs have always just kind of been there to swat you down. And maybe this year that's not the case. So could it be the Bills that get hot? I want to leave a little bit of space for the Jaguars. Like, we don't take the Jaguars seriously. I don't. But could they find four games where they get hot? Because right now, they look a little bit better than they have in a long time. The Jacoby Myers trade has done really good things for that offense and kind of slotted their receivers in the right spot. They still don't have Travis Hunter. So, yeah, when you know there's potentially like a faulty wire, your offense could just burn out at any time, I think it gives you pause. The question will be, like, will it have a game like that, and will Josh Allen save them anyway? So I appreciate that. I think it's a fair point. I think a lot of people feel that way. Like, Josh will do what Josh does, but will there be a game where the offense kind of like fizzles? And you've got to know, given their defensive problems and defensive limitations, like you might need 30 points in every one of these games. Like, what's the here's a fun way to think about what you're saying. What's the lowest point total you would say they could win with in a playoff game? What's anybody think there? Is it like 24? Who are they holding to 23 points? You might think Houston, right? Houston's offense is not that impressive. Could they beat Denver with 24? Maybe. It's an offense that has shown they can kind of hit overdrive in the run game, sometimes in the passing game, and defensively, like, they've just got to find a way. Ethan in Hamburg. Hey, Ethan, good morning.
Hey, Joe, I was just calling in. I heard you mention about the Bucs game this morning. So I was going to make a point about Sean Tucker stealing that 1 yard line rush from Bucky Irving. That hurt me in fantasy. But then I woke up to find out that Kyle Pitts put away 3 touchdowns. So that put a smile on my face.
Nice.
But besides that, I was just going to say that I think our defense, if we were healthy, would be a top defense and kind of look maybe not like Houston, but something more like that. But I still think that we rely on them, like, a lot, including our special teams, to have big plays like the Ray Davis kick return or the Benford pick six. Like, I think they do make a lot of huge plays for us and keep us in it a lot, even if, you know, they have their shortcomings.
Yeah.
But like you said earlier about, we got a lot of practice squad guys. We pull up a lot of people. We got a lot of injuries. Hoyt going down was huge.
Yeah, it's too bad, Ethan. It's too bad we didn't get like 6 games to see if Hoyt was just more than a, you know, 6-quarter flash. Which, whatever, it looked really good in those 6 quarters. And if we had seen 6 games, maybe we'd be even more upset about it. You know?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think we could have totally, like, you know, moved people around, see where, like, who works best where, kind of like you were talking about the other week about Taron Johnson and him moving around possibly. The other point I wanted to make was Ty Johnson. I think we just need to feed that guy the ball. I think when we throw him the ball, good things happen.
Yeah. Thanks, Ethan. He's been a part of some of their better offensive performances. He's been a part of, I mean, I think about, of course, the Detroit game last year and then the Denver playoff game. Like, that game is close until Ty Johnson makes a really big catch down the field in the end zone, an incredible catch. Like, that is a game that is, I don't know if it's in doubt, but it's within striking distance before the Bills ultimately put Denver away. 803-0550. I know you're mentioning special teams. On average starting field position, kick returns, like the Bills, that's a spot they could get a lot better. Some explosive returns, finding explosive returns, whether it's this week or just kind of going forward, it would help a lot. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I'm here to give Sean McDermott credit for what they're doing on defense and kind of manage expectations, especially now with Christian Benford in a walking boot slash shoe, a walking croc, it was smaller. It's not quite a full like boot. Anyway, 803-0550, the phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Shout out Sean Tucker, Syracuse, got that carry from the 1 yard line. This game last night, David Sills also had a big drop, but it had a big game. and I was not awake. Were any of you guys awake, Derek, Owen, Dan, when they reviewed the Kyle Pitts touchdown to see if he got in, the third one? Were you watching that?
I was not.
I was awake, but I was a little, I was getting ready for Sabres time, okay, but I saw clips and everything.
The true sickos of the world.
What does that look like, getting ready for Sabres time?
Just, you know, crying mostly.
Everything you think it is.
Not now. I'm getting ready for Sabres time.
I can't watch football now. I'm preparing.
I need the meme now.
Because I did not see it live, so I'm sure they reviewed the scoring play. On the third touchdown he catches, I mean, I just want to know if the rules analyst said, like, yeah, see, guys, the butt cheek hits the ground, because that's why he was in.
Right.
It was very close.
It was funny because the rule analyst said that if both the elbow and the butt cheek hit at the same time, it's out of bounds, incomplete,
perfect,
no touchdown.
Wow. Yeah, and they slowed it down frame by frame.
Right there.
Right, and there's like, yep, that's butt cheek.
Butt cheek first.
Hey, he got one foot and one cheek. That's a touchdown.
Yep, booty cheek counts as
foot.
That's
right. One. That's one. That does a. I don't know. I thought. Does a butt count as 2 feet?
Yes, I think.
Because a knee.
I think butt.
Or
counts
is it
as,
by cheek? Do we need two?
No.
Cheek?
If one knee equals 2 feet, then one cheek has to equal 2 feet.
It's got to.
One cheek equals two knees. Is probably what it should. Right. That's 4 feet.
Are we looking at cheekalytics here?
Should be.
Cheekalytics.
Kyle Pitts. All right. If you had a great season in fantasy and Kyle Pitts just destroyed you, I am sorry. And we've had a number of people text and tweet in like, hey, I had him on my bench. Ouch. That one hurts too.
Oh, no.
Sal, top of the hour. It's a Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls on the other side. And Sal, top of the hour here on WGR.
This may come across as a bold, controversial statement, and maybe some fans will hate me for it, but I don't know if they truly have an impact player on the defensive side of the ball. I think Oliver is the closest, and he's obviously hurt, but they don't really have a one-on-one pass rusher. At this point in time, you wouldn't say they have a great corner. I mean, Bedford, they signed, nice player. They're hoping, they drafted Hairston. They're hoping he turns into more than a nice player because he was a first-round pick. You know, and Cole Bishop looks like he could become a really solid safety. I feel like when I watch their defense that I don't feel like there's an impact defender that you feel like, well, that guy is going to be the guy that just makes plays when you need it.
Greg Cosell on One Bills Live. Of course, Christian Benford has been that player the last 2 weeks, but we don't know about his status for Sunday. Was not seen in a walking boot today, or I should maybe better put that, was
seen
without a walking boot.
Right.
I'd still love to know more about the walking boot world. How many do the Bills have? Like, do you have a closet full of walking boots?
I'll bet they do.
Left and right?
Yeah. I'll bet they
different sizes.
Yep. And different, like, you see, you hear walking boot, and I think my brain right away, that's why I appreciate it. I think it was Lance Lesowski had the picture that while we were talking to Sal, I eventually retweeted, and so did Sal. I think it's something that is, like, all the way up the calf, like a big thing with like a stump on the bottom, and you're just like, you can get around in that, but it's almost the same as a cast,
like a ski boot.
Right. This was more of like, I think I said a rugged sandal looking device. Like, it was protective, but it was not above the ankle. It was a low cut type thing. So clearly designed just to protect the toes, I would think, or the foot in general.
We've got high ankle sprain walking boots, right, and ankle sprain walking boots, right, and then toe sprain
maybe
walking
broken
boots.
Broken fibula walking boots, I don't know. So yeah, I'll bet they have. I remember going to the orthopedic surgeon in like their offices after I had just meniscus surgery, and I had to get fitted for a brace. And there, I mean, that room is really something. And I'll bet you, just like all kinds of stuff, right? Upper and lower body, different extremities, etc. I bet the Bills have got their own set of that.
You would think so.
All shapes and sizes, yeah.
That's from the softball incident?
The knee? No. Way later. This is after running for years on what was a torn meniscus.
You got cleaned up?
Yeah. I need to get cleaned up. Yeah, that's right. Long after the, I don't even know if walking boots existed when I had the knee injuries when I was
who invented
playing softball.
The walking boot.
I didn't have no walking boot then. I know that.
Terry is with us. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
Well, thanks for taking my call, but I wanted to talk about the game Sunday. I mean, I've been listening to you guys, and obviously when the game comes on Sunday, I'm rooting for the Bills. There's no doubt about it. That's just in my DNA. It'll spoil my mood for the next 48 hours. But I was thinking back to 1969. Do you guys remember 69? You guys are like old as dirt, right?
I was not born yet.
I was 4 years old in 1969. All right. So I'm old. I'm as old as some dirt.
But they weren't good at all. I can't wait to hear how this compares.
Yeah, well, absolutely, because the AFL was up and coming at that time. And, you know, being a Bills fan, I'm an AFL fan. And the Chiefs were playing the Raiders in a late season game, and they were the two best teams in the AFL. Well, the Jets were the best team. They were the second two best teams, mm-hmm. two and three. They were playing each other in a regular season game, knowing that they were probably going to meet in the playoffs. And it was a very short playoff because that was the first year the AFL had playoffs. The previous year when the Jets won, they only had to beat the Raiders. You won your division and went to the championship game. Mm-hmm. So playoffs was a new thing to the AFL. And Hank Stram, and I don't know if he mentioned this in his memoirs, he knew he'd be meeting them again in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he came out and played the most bland game you could think of. I think they ran the ball 45 out of 60 plays or something.
Okay.
And they may have lost, but then when they meet the Raiders in the playoffs, they had their whole offense available. They didn't show them anything, and they won. And they went and won their first Super Bowl. So yep. I've been thinking about that all week to kind of cushion, you know, if the Bills lose, thinking, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, they didn't go all out for this game. They hid some stuff.
Would you support that if you knew? I think maybe the answer would be yes, based on how you're talking. If you knew that sure. the Bills did that, you would support it.
Well, I don't think, like I said, they should just take some plays out of their playbook. We're not going to show them this. You still have to go all out in a football game. You can't take anything off it. You want to try and win it. They're just like me. They want to win that game, but they're going to win it without their full playbook, so to speak.
Okay.
On a different play, just not to hold some things back.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. Your memory is very good on this Chiefs-Raiders game. The Chiefs completed two passes and lost and then did beat the Raiders. They had to win Jet game first. You said all that, but they did that. How much is there to play for? I've been saying, bringing this up all week, and I'm not sure it jives with how the fans are thinking about this game. I said yesterday, a couple of things got me a little bit fired up for it. A Stephon Diggs comment about how no one believes in them, that kind of thing. And then also, maybe it was even Mike Giardi yesterday on the panel, like a New England panel show that took me back 15 years to having just like being irrelevant and having the complex came back in my mind yesterday listening to that. The Patriots are on top.
Right.
So from a emotional standpoint, hostile environment, Mike predicts, Mike mm-hmm, Giardi. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to feel it. You're going to want it. On the other hand, what does it really do to the outcome of the season? Like, it's not to say that you'd rather lose. There's none of that here. There's none of that here. There's no strategic positioning that's better. What I guess you could make an argument for, like, how hard you have to press the pedal down the rest of the way if you win or if you lose. You know, we had a yeah. couple of seasons here recently where the Bills maybe broke down a little bit. You know, a lot of teams would.
One of the first things I said this week was maybe, you know, they win this game and it ends up being to their detriment in the big picture. We're not going to know that Sunday if they win it. But if they stay alive and therefore handle anything differently than they would have. But I still think we're just a few weeks away from that even still. So, you know, I think we just watched Atlanta, who got eliminated from playoff contention when they lost last week. beat a Tampa team that's battling for first place in their division last night. I think you go and you put your best foot forward. That doesn't mean you won't have different stuff if you play this team again. I mean, that's the genius of it. I mean, you have to be ready to pivot if you play again. You can't just expect to roll everything out there the same and have the same result. But anything could happen between now and the end. So I don't think it's unfathomable. I know they will be underdogs, pretty heavy underdogs. This is more the Dolphins than the Jets, who are week 18 for New England. But that you even referenced that happened to New England a few years ago with a Fitz Dolphins team. Anything can happen. So go get this game and just sort of keep going. If you drop another one, then it's probably over and you can act accordingly.
Miami's even still in it.
Yeah. So I'm not prepared. Yeah, they could be playing for a wild card spot by the time they get to the end. If I know. It's not something I would bet on sitting here right now. But I also would not rule out, whether they have a stake or not, Miami upsetting New England in week 18. Like, it's football. Stuff happens. The Patriots will want that game very badly. Miami will probably very much enjoy the idea of messing it up on them. And so they're going to play. If I don't get this game, I have no look at that. So I'm gonna treat this game, despite the 90% likelihood to make the playoffs, whatever result we get on Sunday for the Bills, I'm treating this game like I want it. And need is a little strong, but I want to see what happens. So it might end up being to their detriment if they have to go hard and then miss out, which has happened before. But I want to go get this game. That's practically speaking. Emotionally, I don't want them to step over the Bills' body to get to the T-shirts and the hats. If they can clinch it another way, good for you. But let the Bills serve some notice. I'm sort of betting on this. Like, I'm gonna pick the Bills in this game because I just think pride and all of it, I think, will. I hope it's enough. I think the Bills are as good or a better team. It was a very close game the last time they played. I think it'll be a very close game again. I think New England is prone to beating themselves, so you're going to have to take it. But I'm looking at it like it's still an opportunity, even if it's a long shot.
Not against or for what you've said mostly there. I'm thinking that Sunday night, when we're on after that game, it'll be either, you know, the next step in trying to figure out what's going to happen, if it's close, if Buffalo wins, you know, not going to determine the outcome of the season, but it'll sort of keep, we'll be talking about Super Bowl odds again and, you know, all the good stuff. The other scenario is that you have Miami or Houston again, and they just end up looking like a team, which has happened more than once this year, where you sit down after the game and go, yeah, this is not a Super Bowl team. Sorry. Like, because after these other games and the Falcons, I feel like that's kind of where most people were. This, come on. Can't stop the run at all. Nobody gets open. Like, everything looked wrong in a couple of these losses. So if you have that and we're sitting here Sunday night, asking each other if we're deluding ourselves into thinking that this team, even just, yes, that it has Josh Allen, but is really actually good enough to run the table, that if they lose, then you'd know it has to be wild card. And, like, that would be a tough pill. But I think a close game, I'm not sure I'll be in much of a different place about where this is going to end up. I might be if they lose, you know, handily, though. And if they win handily, great. That'll give you more confidence, but just doesn't do that much in the standings. You know that maybe it messes with New England a little bit, which goes to Baltimore next week, and maybe you sort of rattle them. Anyway, can't wait. Sunday at 1:00. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll have Sal at 5:00. This is WG.
You know how in football, timing is everything?
You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.